Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
YumaDailyNews.com on News Talk 560 KBLU is brought to you by Half Off Yuma. Get our half off deals right now. Go to KBLUAM.com and click on Yuma Half Off for this week's savings.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, YumaDailyNews.com. A bucket truck fire knocked out power in Yuma. We have more info on our website. Congressman Raul Grijalva voted to pass the Women's Health Protection Act, which helps establish the federal right for health care providers to carry out an abortion and for patients to receive abortion care. Read the story, YumaDailyNews.com. And Yuma's Most Wanted is now up on the website. Find out this week's lineup of suspects that authorities want to see behind bars. The rap sheets have been included. Take a look, YumaDailyNews.com. Arizonans are in favor of relocation of Afghan refugees, but not necessarily to Arizona. Read the story, YumaDailyNews.com. And the town council in Somerton is hosting their annual community awards. Vote for your favorite local businesses on the STC website. More info, YumaDailyNews.com. If you have ideas for local stories, you can always send us an email, newsroom@YumaDailyNews.com. We'll take a look. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
Arizona Marketplace is Yuma's largest outdoor market. Open to the public November 4th. Accepting all vendors' applications now. Our clients are requesting products and services like kitchen supplies, golf equipment, handmade jewelry, massage therapists, pet grooming, nail salon, hair extensions, and more. Call now for your reservations at 928-328-1088 or visit azmktholdings.com. Arizona Marketplace.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today as a lone ranger. We don't have Howard, the constitutional guru, with us, and Mel just left. He said you're on your own.
Man.
And I'm stuck here with Russ, and...
Lucky you.
That's exactly what went through my mind. But Russ was telling me how he's trying to get back in shape.
Oh,
it's
man.
A new Russ 2.0, and how he's joined a Taekwondo or MMA kind of style gym, and I might go and watch that just for fun. I'd love to see you get beat up.
There you go. It's entertainment value.
And you pay for it. That's even better.
Yeah.
You pay to get beat up. I love it.
That's the way I like it.
So I'm curious, did you ever wrestle or anything like that in high school?
I wrestled in high school.
There
a little
you go.
Bit, and I was a Place Explorers Club kind of guy, played football.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things.
So it's not foreign to you.
Oh, no, but it's been a while.
That was back before they had pads and stuff, right?
Leather helmets. Yeah. No, we had not that old, man.
I'm teasing. Come on.
I was getting there. But I turned 64 last week, so.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it's time for me to get in shape or just fade away.
There you go. I like that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Right up my alley. I tend to be a person that's either all in or not invested at all.
Well, and that's my problem. You know, when I hit the gym and they said do something, I mean, I'm as everything I've got, and believe me, I'm in pain. You know, I'm all in.
No pain, no gain. You know what
Ooh,
they say.
Well,
come on,
I must be gaining a ton then.
I'm serious. I think I want to go watch this.
It
intrigues me to see you get beat up. You said you haven't taken a punch to the face yet.
No, I haven't done any of that yet. I mean, I just. You know, they just got me working out. I've only put gloves on once in my life. At one day at a Police Explorers event, we had to, you know, spend 15 minutes with gloves on. And that's been the only time in my life I've ever done anything like that. So I played football and all, you know, you do a lot of that. But to actually do the gloves and all, I've never done it. So it's all new. So, but they've had me doing a lot of exercises and stuff. I've got those on video, you know. If you're ever bored one day, I could show you me.
Oh, I would love to see that. Oh, I'd love to see that. Sure. In my leisure time.
Yeah, right.
Growing up, I had a good buddy whose dad, I think he was in the Navy or something. I don't know. He was a boxer, and you wouldn't think it, you know, because of his age and things like that. And
yeah.
And there, from time to time, we would go on these trips during the summers for scout camp, and inevitably he would bring his gloves, and so kids would square up with him. You know, you want to go a few rounds, and you're thinking, oh, he's an old man, you know. Yeah. And one or two punches, those kids were out. I mean, it was so sad.
He's an old man that enjoyed beating on kids. There you go.
I mean, once a boxer, always a boxer. My grandpa was the same way. He boxed in the Navy. He was really, really good. And the same thing. I mean, if you squared up with him, he'd lay you out in one or two punches because of the technique. It's like you said, you wrestled. And any wrestler that is listening, they'll understand this, where after a period of time, your body is in that reactive mode. And so if you get touched or you see something,
muscle memory, you'll know.
It's your mind doesn't even think anymore.
Right.
And that's a lot like a boxer. You don't want to make them mad or, you know, set them off because they can't control it really. It's a reaction, pop, pop, you know, and there you go, down for the count. Growing up, I grew up in a household of just boys. So I was the last of four boys. And, you know, I don't know whose idea it was to buy boxing gloves, but somebody along the way, our part of our religion in my household was Rocky. So, you know, that anthem, those movies, it was like a religion to us.
So your dad bought gloves to see what they, you know, just for
entertainment?
I don't know
who bought them or how they got into our house.
That's great.
It was a horrible idea, but I ended up being the punching bag as a little brother, like, stand in there, and they just take it, pop, pop, you know, to the face, to whatever. And then they were like, come on, you know. And yeah, that was my childhood. That's why I'm so messed up now. I need to go to counseling.
Go to the couch.
It is good. Yeah. Along with my brother's like pitching. My brother was a high school pitcher. I'm like, really good pitcher. And, you know, I'm just a kid. He's in high school. I'm a kid in like elementary school. But he would pitch to me and just make me stand in there and take him, you know. And it ended up being for the better. Because I could take these really fast pitches, and I was just a kid. I was able to take blows to the face, and I was just a kid, you know. So I guess ultimately it ended up helping me down the line.
They
but,
just didn't know it at the time.
At the time, I thought, man, I'm
just punishment.
I need to call CPS. No, I'm teasing. It wasn't that bad. But yeah, these things shape who we are, and oftentimes I think we have these gut reactions when you hear of tragedy in a family. Yesterday, my wife's grandfather, he just turned 103, I think, in June or July.
Good.
I can't remember.
Yes.
Which,
how great is that?
Well, he passed away yesterday, and so it's bittersweet, right? Sure. And we circle the kids, and we say, you know, as the dad here, and I've got six kids, little kids looking at me, I'm like, what do I say? Because they know him, and he's been in their lives, and so I say, you know, now you have that moment as a dad, like, how do I break the news? And I basically said, got good news and bad news. The good news is that Grandpa is no longer hurting, you know, he's no longer feeling these issues of his body. The bad news is that he passed away, kind of thing, and they all took it really well. Luckily, he had everything in order. And that's, I think, one thing that brings us solace is that after 103 years, he had everything in order. He had, you know, legal planning in place. It's not going to be an issue as far as who's in charge and who gets what and things like that, or where everything is, because he's taken care of it. He's been taking care of that for years and revising it. And it's a really good testament to forethought and planning ahead. And I often think, you know, if I truly care about those that I live with, that I'm, you know, sacrificing for, my kids, my wife, then I need to really think ahead as to what would happen if something happened to me.
Absolutely.
Is there somebody that can step in financially? Is there somebody that can step in to make medical decisions on my behalf? And then what happens with those things that might be just in my name, things that are titled? Maybe it's a car. Maybe it's a bank account. Maybe it's a piece of real estate, an insurance policy. How does that all work? And so that's what we do on a daily basis, is we help families work through that labyrinth. And it really can be a labyrinth, but what our goal is to make it easy for them. Let us take on the work and let us make it easy for you. We'll tell you exactly what you need to do and how to do it and put together a plan. And so my daily work consists of that, and it's really satisfying. I wouldn't say that there is an appointment that I leave thinking, I feel worse than I did before I went in. Every appointment that I go into, by the end of it, I feel very satisfied, because I know these individuals that I'm sitting with, they have on their mind pressing issues, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to address that particular challenge, and that's why they're coming to me or to my partner, Sean, or to our firm. And ultimately, when they leave our office, you can see it visibly, the weight off their shoulders. And oftentimes they'll hug me or they'll say, I feel so much better. And we haven't finished the planning. It's just the idea that we've got a plan and we're okay. Everything's going to be okay. If something were to happen to us, it's so liberating. It gives confidence. And you can live your life knowing that, hey, I've got stuff in order. I don't need to use it, but I've got it in order. We've got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Look for that sunshine today as we get up into the mid-90s tonight. Clear skies overnight, low 74. Tomorrow, with the sunshine up to around 95, winds out of the south may get up to 20 miles per hour. A little cooler for Wednesday as we top out right around 90. Sunshine with a few clouds. Brought to you by Exergen. To detect fever, COVID-19's leading symptom, it's critical to take an accurate temperature reading with the Exergen temporal scanner. It's the only thermometer whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Learn more at Exergen.com. Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
Do you have slips, drips, or footing shifts? Come see my dad, Matt, at Team Ramco Transmission.
We have been a family-owned and operated business for over 25 years. We believe in honesty, professionalism, and supporting our troops. You can find us at 4701 East Gila Ridge Road, right off the interstate.
So when old dependable is not so dependable, come see my family at Team Ramco Transmission.
You can find us on Gila Ridge between Araby and 3E. So come in or give us a call, 928-344-5360.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. He's pushing buttons and showing me videos, viral videos of his Taekwondo-y training. It was pretty awesome. I was pretty impressed, actually. I mean, it's pretty humbling to watch what you've done, and I'm impressed, Russ. Good job on that, and it inspires me to do the same. You know, I want to go out and hit something.
There you go.
Yeah,
just pick the right target.
We were talking before the break about getting your affairs in order, and obviously that's what I'm going to talk about, because that's what I do on a day in day out basis. I meet with families to help them put their planning in place legally. And we do that in a series of ways. Every family is different. Every individual is different. And they might have different goals. They might have different ways of getting to what they're trying to accomplish. And that's what we do, is we help you figure that out. It might be implementing some sort of business structure like an LLC or corporation or partnership. It might be using a living trust or a will or a power of attorney in some form or fashion. There's all sorts of different ways to get things done to accomplish the goals that you have. And that's what we do on a daily basis. What we need to know is, what do you want to accomplish? And let us help you get there. And then we'll put together a plan that works for you, that's unique to your family, to accomplish that goal legally. And like I said before, people that go through this process, they come out of it just feeling so much better, so confident, because they know that things are in order and they don't have to worry anymore as to what would happen financially or health-wise to them if they just weren't able to manage their own life. This happens all the time. I mentioned yesterday my wife's grandfather passed away. He was 103, and it was bittersweet. The man, I mean, he had lived such a life. I grew up in a town called Wilcox. It's on the southeast side of the state, almost directly across from Yuma here, as a crow flies. And it's a farming community as well. It's a little bit different. We have pistachios, we have cotton, we have apples over there. So it's a little bit different of a farming community, but it is a farming community nonetheless. And my wife's grandfather, when I first met her and we got married and things, and I was talking with him and I mentioned where I was from, he said, "Oh, I've been there. I used to, he talked about the stagecoaches, the Wells Fargo stagecoaches that went through Wilcox and Safford and Thatcher and Pima. And he told me all these stories, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. The history that he knew.
The stagecoach.
Yeah, and you think about 103 years on this earth, and the things that he saw, from landing on the moon, World War II, landing on the moon, you got Vietnam, all these world wars, and then the technology advances all in 103 years is just incredible. Oftentimes we talk on this show about the constitutional issues that often play out every day of our lives. You know, right now I think on the scene we a lot of issues are coming to our presence because of the vaccine mandates that we see from the Biden administration. We're also seeing mask mandates in some cases and things like that. And so the constitutionality of those issues is always at the forefront. Is it allowed under the Constitution? What do we do about it if it's not? That kind of stuff. And to see an individual who lived 103 years go through the process of seeing all these technological advances, all these moral issues of our day, I can't remember the name for it. It'll come back to me because I don't use it very often, but it's the not so much the moral issues, but the social justice issues. That's what it is, you know, of our day and how that's advanced over time. I think that right now, in our society, there is a real divide in the sense of, it's me against you. If you don't believe exactly what I believe, then you're not with me. You're against me, and therefore, I'm going to do all I can to destroy you. Type thing, whether that's on social media or it's in a forum or it's in person or online in some form or fashion. And it's not like that hasn't existed before. Even the founders themselves have experienced this, and to act like it's unique. And our day is ridiculous, because even in the founders' day, the founders of our Constitution and of our nation, they went through issues like this, and they would oftentimes go to battle, even fist to fist, you know, and they would also go to war with words as well. So it's not unique to our time, but I think what's unique to our time is the ability to say something online and then retreat or act like you're cloaked from liability or from some sort of accountability. I think that is unique to our time. The internet has allowed for people to go in and to not to use this word lightly, to bully or to troll other people. And then there is no consequence to that. So long as you don't you know, incite violence or you don't use certain words and you're not banned for those words, then you can really go at a person. And that psychologically hurts. It does. Whether people admit it or not, it actually does. And it has a huge effect on our lives. I think from that perspective, it is different. I don't think the idea that conflict or disagreement in our time is more so than it's ever been in the history of the world. I don't believe that. I believe it's always been, there have been people that have always disagreed. But I think what's different now is the rapid rate in which we can communicate our disagreement and then hide from accountability of what we said. I know of individuals that they are so emboldened online. They will say the meanest, vilest things against a person. But in real life, they would never say that. They would never say what they said online. I don't know what it is about some sort of cloak of immunity,
yeah,
of anonymity. But it's really not anonymous. You know, when you're using your name on Facebook or you're using your name or your name on Instagram or one of these social media sites, it's not really anonymous. I mean, people can find you. They know who you are. But yet there is some sort of idea that, oh, if I say it out in the ether and then in the social media realms, then it doesn't count or it's not real. And that's horrible. That's psychologically horrible for our society. And I think that's why people tend to feel like, well, no, nowadays, I mean, we have never seen disagreement like we've seen before. We are so fractured. I don't know if we can fix this. I don't believe that, because we've always had, no person is exactly the same. No person has the exact same mindset or thoughts or alliances. And to believe that this is the first time in the world's history that there's been disagreements to this magnitude is ridiculous to me. I think the difference is our willingness to actually express that in a way that is hurtful and in a way that we feel like, oh, there's no accountability, so I'm either anonymous, they won't find out who I actually am, or it's online, so it doesn't really count. You know, it's not real. It's not a real world. And I think that's the difference that we're living today. I think we could all do better in controlling our thought patterns. And if you can't say it to somebody's face, then I would never say it online. Because number one, there's a record of it online. And face-to-face, not really. You know, it's hearsay. And from the attorney's perspective, I'm like, there's no record of hearsay or words. It's your word against mine. So first of all, the evidence issue is gone. But secondly, it's just not right. And I think a person carries that with them, whether you say it in person or you say it online, they carry it with them. There's no letting go of that. My wife and I have really been working on ourselves lately, like you have, Russ. You know, you've been going to these classes. You're trying to physically get better. And I'm sure you're trying to do your best to make better decisions today than you did yesterday. And,
correct.
And my wife and I have been trying to do that. And in that process, we've really been dissecting ourselves, and it's been really refreshing. It's refreshing because we have opened up and just told each other everything. I mean, everything, going back to our childhood, any little thing. And that exercise has been so liberating. We started using this program that we have this manual, and it's based off of like the 12 steps program, the 12 steps for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you go through these steps one at a time, and it helps you come to the realization of, oh, wow, I do hold these resentments, or I do hold these issues, and I've held them for a long time, and it actually is subconsciously making me choose things that I probably shouldn't do, or these addictions that I, and when we talk about addictions, it could be food, you know. Oftentimes that's my vice is ice cream. I cannot withstand ice cream. It's a weird thing, but especially if I'm stressed or something, I want ice cream. It's very difficult for me to withstand it if somebody offers me ice cream. And so that's just an example of something that when I get tempted, I have a hard time saying no to.
I don't have any in the studio. You're good.
I know. Thank goodness, because I'd be eating Haagen-Dazs all day right here. Ben and Jerry's, but that's just one of my issues. You know, for other people, it might be smoking, or it might be alcohol. It might be, you know, other drugs, or
heroin mostly.
Yeah, I know.
Those kind of things.
You're trying to clean up. I get it.
I'm trying to change.
But that's just, I'm expressing to you, like, it's been a great process. We don't have addictions that are, you know, like alcoholics or anything like that. It is just, we thought, hey, we'll try it. We were working together as a couple. We thought, hey, let's try this program that our church has, and it has a manual. And so we just started going through it together. And it's been a wonderful experience going through it with my wife and being honest with each other and being honest with ourselves. And it's been really a great experience. And I'd recommend it to anybody because it really makes you better. It makes you a kinder person. It makes you more willing to help and to do things outside of yourself. And I think that's really what it's all about. I often think to myself, what's the point, you know, of all this? If there's nothing after this existence, then what's the point? Like, why? What motivates me to keep the laws? What does it matter to me if I don't feel like there's going to be something else, or I'm going to be accountable for choices I make now in this existence, you know? And I recognize that everybody believes differently. Sure. Everybody has their own beliefs and things like that. But personally, I believe that there is a God, and that I will be accountable at some point. And so I'm trying to make the best decisions I can. And I often think, well, what if there wasn't? You know, if there wasn't a God, then why do I care about making good decisions? Like, what would it matter? You know, if this is it and I die, my body goes in the grave, then what? Who cares? I would just go on a spinning spree. I would do whatever I wanted, you know? And I don't think that's a great way to live. I think the best way to live is to help others along your way and to
I don't think those people are generally happy anyway.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't know many of them. I from time to time I'll run into an individual in my path that might have that particular idea, and that's their prerogative. But for me, in my house, we choose to believe that there is a greater being out there, and we want to make sure that our choices are in line with that person, with that being. And so having said all that, that really dictates what I do on a daily basis when I meet with people. As I'm trying to think of them as my own family. I would not promulgate an idea or a legal solution to a problem without feeling like this is for my own brother or my own sister or my own grandpa or my own grandma or my own dad or mom. And that's the mentality I take to me to the office every day. I want to make sure that if it's not good for the person I'm talking to, or excuse me, if it's not good for myself, for my family, then I'm never going to recommend something to the person I'm sitting across from, because that's how much I care. We've got to go to a break, and this is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Joe at Chassis Dynamics reminds drivers, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation, texting while driving is a leading cause of traffic accidents and fatalities. Do your part and put the phone down when driving. The LOLs can wait, and the life you save may just be your own. This message courtesy of our friends at Chassis Dynamics at 2868 East 13th Street in Yuma, locally owned and operated. For all your auto repair needs, call a true local gem at 928-314-1005. Please, stay alive. Don't text and drive.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is Attorney Adam Hanson. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Russ Clark, and we've been talking about personal beliefs and things like that, and we've talked about those issues that arise every day in our lives. We live in tumultuous times, and things happen every day. I talked about my wife's grandfather passing away yesterday at the ripe old age of 103, and we were so, it was bittersweet, like I mentioned. I mean, that he did so much, and it's neat to see the things that he accomplished and the generations that he affected. Like I mentioned before, I told the story of him. When I would talk to him, he always brought up the place where I grew up, and he would frequent that area back as a kid, and so it was really cool to hear stories from so long ago about stagecoaches and things where I grew up and the Indians and things like that. There's a mountain range. It's called the Cochise Stronghold, where Cochise and his Indian tribe, Geronimo, frequented that area as well. So all these Indian tribes and these significant Indians in history of Arizona that we studied about in the history books, it was fun to talk to him about these tribes and things like that and learn history. So he was a great influence on us. I'm so thankful that he had his stuff together, meaning legally, as an attorney that works in this area every day. I was thrilled to know that there wasn't going to be a question when he passed away about what was going to happen, who would be in charge, who would be managing that, what would happen with his body, for example. All that stuff is taken care of. He took the time to put that in order. I would say to those that are listening, if you haven't done so yet, now's the time to get it done. I think one of the biggest issues that we run into is procrastination of a lot of things. I'm one to talk because obviously I'm one of the biggest procrastinators. That's one of my downfalls. Is if it is going to require some time or effort, if it doesn't come easy to me, then it's easy for me to push it off. And especially when I've got other things on my list of to-dos, and it might be something simple on its outset. But if I feel like, oh man, I can do all this other stuff over here, I'm going to address my time and my energy to that because I can get it real done. I can get it done real fast. And so that's one of my downfalls. And I think a lot of us fall into that category, especially when it comes to legal planning. I think a lot of us have the idea that it's too expensive or it's too complicated, or I have to have a lot of money in order to qualify to have some sort of an estate plan in place. And none of those issues or none of those ideas are correct. They're all actually wrong. And the idea that these things are preventing individuals from coming and seeing me in my office and getting a plan in order, it makes me disappointed because I feel like we're not doing a good enough job educating those in our community as to what their options are. Having said that, if that's you, if you feel like you've been putting things off for a while just because you don't know where to start, or you don't know how much it's going to cost, or maybe you feel like you don't have enough assets or something like that to qualify for an estate plan legally, forget all that and come and see me. Set an appointment and come and see me. In fact, what I would encourage you to do is go to my website. It's yuma.law. That's as simple as it is, yuma.law. And on the front page there, when you land on that page, there will be a link that says watch now. And it's a little video that Sean, my partner, and I put together for people like you. So if you have questions as to where to start, that's the place to start. Watch this little video that we put together. And every time somebody watches that, they'll give me a comment like, I can't believe I didn't know that, or man, I'm ready to get started. I just want to get this going. I had no idea that that could happen to me. And so those are comments because they watch these videos and they start to realize, oh man, if I don't do something now, anything could happen to me. And now my family or those loved ones that I leave behind are really going to be in a bind. And that bind is not impossible to deal with. It's really not. But what will happen is it'll be three times more expensive and it'll be five times more of the time to get it resolved. And so all that can be dealt with ahead of time if you just take the time now to put proper planning in place. And that's our message to the community. And the best place to start is going online to my website and watching that video. And once you watch that video, your eyes will be open to what could actually happen and what happens if you don't have your estate in order. Once you do that, call my office and let's sit down and talk, because we can help you get something in order quickly and we can get it put together and up and running so that you don't have to worry anymore and address it every few years. You know, oftentimes I'll have people ask, well, how often do we have to update this? We recommend that you look at your planning every few years. We want you to make sure that everything's up to date. Sometimes you'll have changes in your life such that you might have a falling out with a particular child or a person or a person that you've named as somebody to be in charge of finances or healthcare decisions. And that happens all the time. And we want to contemplate those changes, but sometimes there are changes in circumstances in your particular life that you just can't contemplate or you didn't see or foresee coming. And so our job is to try and help you foresee all these things, but some things are just unforeseeable. And if that happens, there are ways that we can change things. And that's the beauty of it all. It doesn't have to be perfect right off the bat. You can change it over time. Russ, you've had experiences with this. You've come into our office multiple times.
Yep.
And not only that, but with your own family. And so you can speak to the comfort that you feel knowing that everything is set up and ready to go.
Well, I know what it's like to not have it. And that's, you know, my dad, who's hard-headed and had his own way, which is fine. And he did a will through the Air Force, which was free, and all that stuff. And he thought that he had everything taken care of. I didn't try to solicit to him, you know, to help, whatever, because he's his own guy. And until things fell apart, you know, after my mom died in December. And then the family becomes a little more concerned. He's 87. And they want to make sure that, you know, everything's going to be done right. So they... I think maybe my brothers and sisters are going to take more than they should, and maybe this won't work right. And it became really a bad weight on the family as those dissensions started creeping up. And then they became big enough to where they called Russ to come in and say, hey, could you help? So it was good because, you know, I my dad was concerned, everybody was concerned. So I flew to Florida and got Sean on the phone. And after some, you know, talking to my dad about possibilities and what was right, he thought, well, maybe, you know, this looks right now and we'll do it. And it just took a couple of weeks to get things rolling, get it going. And everyone feels better now. You know, the whole family, the brothers, the sisters, everybody that was worried about the other sister, the other brother, they feel like it's more spelled out. They realize it doesn't have to go through probate, doesn't have to go through lawyers, and that my one sister is going to be, you know, the executor or whatever, and all that, which I'm going to be helping her with it. And they all feel comfortable that it'll be done according to my dad's wishes.
When you first told me this story, I was really blown away that your dad was in a position or of a mindset that he was willing to actually listen and put in place a plan that might have been recommended to him.
Me too. At 87 too, because he's, you know, he's the man of the house and he's got it all figured out, knows what to do. Don't confuse. The thing was that it blew up. It blew up because he started putting children's names on his bank account. And one of my brothers was so worried that the money would be misappropriated that he took it out personally and put it into another bank account so that his brothers couldn't get it or sisters couldn't get it or whatever. You know, not that he was taking a thing. He just felt like it wasn't going to be handled properly. And then they called me. And I said, you did what? Exactly. But I think that's what pushed the question enough to, you know, maybe it's not set up where it's safe and secure and everyone feels good about it. And now it's all back in my dad's name. Nobody can touch anything. There's no names on it because the trust has a succession of responsibility if something happens to my dad. And there doesn't need to be anymore in my dad's eyes, because they all knew probate would take a year. So now that we don't have to do all that and everything is going to be a little more clean, people are more comfortable.
And those that are listening, I think if you picked up on it, Russ talked about that part of the relief is that his family won't have to go through probate in the case of his dad. And that's because you put in place, well, you didn't, but your dad did. He put in place a living trust. So why? Why does that avoid probate? Why does it avoid court processes when a person dies? The basic principle is that when you own something in your name and you pass away, something that's titled, and you don't have a beneficiary on that particular thing. Let's use an example of a car. Mm-hmm. I go out to the dealership because it's easy for me to get there. My wife's got other stuff going on. And so I buy this truck in my name, and the dealership puts it in my name. And then I drive off the lot and I get in an accident and I die. So in order to transfer that title that's just in my name, my wife will have to have legal authority to sign off on that title. On the back of our titles here in Arizona, you're probably familiar with this if you've ever transferred a vehicle. There's a section there on the back of the title that allows you to sign the title over to the new buyer or gift it over to somebody, but ultimately it's seller and buyer. And so my wife, as the seller of that vehicle, on my behalf, will need legal authority to transfer good title to the person that wants to buy it after I die. And the reality is she doesn't have good title. She doesn't own it. She doesn't have the right to give it away. Only I do, because it's in my name. Well, I can't sign a title because I'm dead. Right. My hand won't move anymore.
Right.
And so that's a problem. And so in our legal system, what we do is we have to go through this probate matter. We file an action in Superior Court here in Yuma County, and we ask the judge to appoint somebody, meaning, judge, we want you to name somebody or a couple people or several people as a personal representative. In other words, we need you to give authority, legal authority, to this person, not to get everything, but to quarterback everything, to manage everything and get it to the beneficiaries that are the rightful heirs. And so once the court issues a court order or a statement saying, yeah, this is the person that has that authority, that legal authority, that person can now go out and sign the title over to the buyer of that truck. So if it's my wife in this case, she would go to court, she would get a court order from the judge saying that she's a personal representative, and now she can sell the truck with good title because she can sign on my behalf as if she were me, even though I'm dead. We'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. This is 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Get your local news from a new local news source, YumaDailyNews.com. Now online at every day at YumaDailyNews.com. We are the local news source focused on Greater Yuma and what's happening in your city, in your community, and your neighborhood. We're reporting on what is important in your universe. A new news source for all of Greater Yuma. Now online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at YumaDailyNews.com. Find us online at YumaDailyNews.com right now.
Hi, I'm Michael Pancrazzi.
And I'm Regina Toomey.
We're with the 2021 41st Annual UMACAT Scholarship Golf Tournament. We need your help as sponsors to benefit local scholarships by sponsoring and or playing in our tournament coming up October 1st at Yuma Golf and Country Club.
We have sponsorships ranging from T-Signs up to our Red Scholar sponsorship. Come and join for a fun day of golf and keep our U of A traditions going strong. Call 210-1636 or visit arizonaalumni.com/yumagolf for more info.
Go Wild!
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. We were just talking about a news alert that Russ got about John Hinckley being released from prison, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah, and if you're not unconditionally.
And if you're not familiar with who that was, he was the one that attempted to shoot President Reagan.
Well, he did shoot Reagan. Well, Put him in the hospital. Attempted to murder
President Reagan. When I looked up his stat sheet, though, it says that he did kill somebody. So that surprised
me. I didn't know anybody died. He shot a couple people.
Secret Service agents, I think, yeah, right?
Yeah, but interesting. I didn't think anybody died, but I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that, but...
Neither do I. It was before, I think it was before I was born. Let me see.
Nah,
1980. Old. Was it the 80s?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just read about it in history books growing up, but I don't remember what year it happened.
I hate that. I mean, you had to read in history books of something I saw.
On TV, yeah. That's what I think about September 11th, you know, and the kids, my kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. I'll have to look more into that after the show. We were talking before the break about the idea of putting a trust plan in place and how that works. Russ had mentioned that his dad recently did this through our firm. And the primary motivation, I think, was, number one, alleviate chaos. And number two, to avoid probate. And I talked a little bit about how that concept works prior to the break. When you have something in your own name and you pass away, meaning a titled asset, you're the only person that has the legal authority to transfer or manage or deal with that particular asset. Well, when you die, nobody else can do it because you're gone. You're the only person that had that authority. And so in our legal system, we've got the system called probate. It's a legal system that you go through where you file a petition with the local county court, superior court, and then you will ask the judge to make a declaratory judgment as to who is in charge of getting a hold of those assets, those titled assets, taking control of them, and then getting them, transferring them to the beneficiaries and who those actual beneficiaries are. That whole process we call probate. It tends to be very expensive. On average here in Yuma County, it costs about $5,000 to $8,000 on average for a very basic probate. But I mean, I've seen them up there in the tens of thousands of dollars to the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It depends on how contentious that particular probate might be.
Yeah, who contested, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And Russ brought this up over the break that a typical probate, you know, you're talking a basic probate where everybody gets along, but most people don't get along, especially in these issues where you've got people that think that they are entitled to more than the other, or siblings getting involved, and it can be a real mess sometimes. And so that really drives up the cost because it drags out that probate matter. The attorney's fees go up. Everything just tends to go up, and it becomes a real challenge. And so a lot of that can be avoided, if not all of it, if you just use a living trust. A living trust is like a will, kind of. I mean, it looks like it. Physically, it's all typed out. It's all pretty looking. You sign it like you would sign a will. But the main difference is that when you create a trust, the moment you sign it, it's alive. So you've created this separate legal entity, and that legal entity has the ability to own things itself.
Yep.
So you no longer have to own your things in your name. Personally, you would put them in this entity name. And once you put it in the name of the trust, then you're acting on behalf of the trust as a trustee or a manager. And so you're doing the same things you were doing before. If you want to sell a property or you want to sell your car, you do that. You know, you just sign the back of the title. But this time you're going to sign your name, comma, trustee. You don't own it. The trust owns it, but the trust isn't a person. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have a hand. it doesn't have the ability to do things physically. It needs you as the physical representative to manage things. And so you would sign your name, comma, trustee. You're acting on behalf of the trust, and that's how you do business. Why does that avoid probate? Because ultimately, when you become sick, you become incapacitated, you die, legally, you didn't own that titled asset. So you don't have to sign anything on behalf of that asset to get it over to the beneficiaries or to a buyer.
And those things can happen right after the death certificate's issued, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it can happen before. For example, if a person is incapacitated legally, then the successor trustee that you've named in your trust, they stand up, you know, they move up in that trust, and now they are the current manager of the trust, even though you're alive. But you're maybe in a nursing home in a memory mm-hmm. care unit and you don't know what's going on, that successor trustee can step in your shoes and now they can manage those titled assets on your behalf.
You'd still need a piece of paper from a physician, wouldn't you, that certifies him as incapacitated.
Absolutely. So you can't go around willy-nilly. Yeah, this person's crazy. I'm throwing them in a home. I'm going to take over their stuff. It's not how it works. And you can adjust this. Everybody's different. But the typical standard is, what we would recommend is you'd have two physician statements certifying that that person is incapacitated. With those two physician statements certifying that, now the successor has legal authority to stand in and take over. They can get into the bank. They can take those documents over to the bank. They can take them to the county recorder's office. They can stand in and they can manage the assets that were in the trust. The neat thing about that is that they don't need an attorney. They don't need a court system. They don't need anybody else. It's all private. And that's what we absolutely love. We love keeping it out of the government's hands and eyes off of the citizenry. We want to make sure the families have the privacy that they need to make things happen. And so you're going from vendor to vendor, those institutions that might have titled assets, and you're dealing with them privately under the trust, as opposed to going through a court system that's public, it's open to you and I on a daily basis. It's expensive and it takes a long time. Not because it should, it's just because it does.
Courts are
because
behind.
It's a government system and they're behind. And so oftentimes we'll file an action. I was talking to a friend of mine that we're helping through an action and just recently, and he said, yeah, I don't go to court till next month. And I thought to myself, oh, that's pretty good actually, because usually when we have to go to courts, we try to do things where we don't have to go to court. That's our objective. But there are some times where if a person didn't have proper planning in place, that we have to go through court. We have to go that route. And if we go that route, it's on the court's timetable, and we don't have any control over that. As much as we ask, you know, the judge, hey, can we move this up? That's not going to work. They've got their calendar, and our matter is not the only thing that they're talking about or hearing that day. And so ultimately it ends up being a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road before we even get into the court.
And then if it's challenged, it's much more than that because of, you know, prep time and everything.
It might string or delay that court process up. And it becomes a real challenge, a strain financially. It becomes a strain emotionally, psychologically. It's very difficult. And out of all the things that we do, my goal is to avoid those situations, whether it's a formal probate type situation in court, or it's a guardianship or conservatorship action because the person became incapacitated and they didn't have proper planning in place that would allow for people to take over if they were to become incapacitated. Those are the ones that I although I do them all the time, out of everything I do, those are the ones I do not like.
Yeah.
Because those actions are very difficult when you bring that person into the courtroom and you have to, in front of them, say why they can't manage their own stuff. And then oftentimes I find those are the ones that those matters, the guardianship, conservatorship matters are the ones that I feel like are a little bit more contentious because the people are still alive. So you've got that factor. Maybe they're saying, hey, I'm fine. I'm right here. I'm sitting right here, you know, and they might be coherent in one moment, but in the next moment they're talking about, you know, balloons and the circus and stuff and walking around without their pants on.
Yeah.
And so it's very challenging. It's very challenging. And then you add on top of that the layer of family members that feel like they need to be involved and they want to be involved and there's a war between them. Well, you're not, you did this to dad, you did this, you know, and so it's an all-out war in that courtroom and it's something I want to avoid. And the best way to do that is getting your planning in place ahead of time. You can avoid all that with a living trust plan, with powers of attorney for finances and for health, for mental health care. There's a particular specific mental health care power of attorney here in Arizona that you can use to avoid that process of guardianship and conservatorship. And I just had to use this last week in a case where there was an individual that was needed to be admitted to inpatient care because of issues that were arising. And because they had a mental health care power of attorney in place, we were able to use that to get them the care that they need. Ultimately, if you're listening today and you haven't fallen asleep because of what I'm talking about, my hope is that you're inspired to give my office a call and come in and see us, because we can help you. Whether you have planning in place already and you need it looked over, you need it reviewed, maybe you've moved here recently from a different state, let us come in and let's take a look at that. Or you don't have anything in place, you don't know where to start, come in and come see us. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be back next week.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.